listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Happy Wednesday, hump day as usual. So glad to see you guys pouring in. Wow, I can't imagine the show we're going to have today with lots of people that actually want to know some more details about the Elihu Weinstein case. Well, guys, I can tell you this much. It's going to be very interesting today because, you know, in these type of deals with stocks and bonds and trades, you know, there's all kind of things that go on with this type of business, you know, and what did we do? We just, you know, spoke about the truth, told about things that could or could not happen, things that did happen. And we gave you guys some facts and we confirmed those facts. And boy, do we have facts to confirm today. You know, mysteriously, you never know who's listening. You know, and I always tell people, be careful with your conversations because there's always someone listening to your conversation. So long story short, guys, I got, you know, a few people that were listening in. Of course, millions of people listen to the show from the East Coast to the West Coast. No secret about it. But this one particular person named Pat actually was listening to the show and said, I am a powerful individual that works with FINRA, you know, the governmental agency that supervises the broker agents, broker dealers, and the broker firms within that whole stockbroker, you know, scenario. And she says she has a lot of information to share. But first, guys, you know, so many people had questions, and I do have those questions, and I'm not going to answer those questions, guys. I think it's more suitable for Pat to answer those questions because you guys want clarity, you want real information, you want facts. And some of the questions that I have for Pat, because, you know, we want to make sure that we're delivering good knowledge to you guys so you guys can actually say, you know, this is believable or the guy really did it or he didn't do it. You know, this is us proving reality by confirming things. And another thing is when you have these type of stockbroker deals, you have all these people that get paid. And we're not talking little money, guys. Don't worry about the people that have yachts and these big mansions, and you're like, guess what? Pat is here. Let's get Pat on the line. We'll get back to that. Hi, Pat. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
Great. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad you could make our show. I'm glad you were listening in to our show over the past couple of weeks. Thank you for that, because without you being a part of what's going on here today, we wouldn't have the clarity that you're about to give us.
Well, so that's great. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. And I wanted to ask you a couple of questions that our audience had for us, things that I feel like should come from a professional such as yourself. You know, initially when we spoke, you said that you had extensive knowledge about the Weinstein case and you're a high ranking official within that FINRA organization. So, you know, more than really some people don't know. Would you say that's fair?
Yes, it is.
Okay, that's great. Fair. Well, let me ask you this question, and these questions are coming from our audience, and I would like you to address them because you're the professional here. So we'll start with Emily. Her question is, how do you ensure a recommendation is suitable for a client?
Okay. Well, I perform a reasonable basic suitability analysis by investigating the security risks and rewards and verifying it aligns with the client's risk tolerance, financial goals, and portfolio of diversification.
Okay. And James wants to know, what is the procedure when a client insists on a high-risk trade against advice?
Well, I must inform you them of the risk and how it impacts their financial plan. If they persist, I document the conversation, the warning I provide, and the decision to proceed for compliance purposes.
Okay. And Karen wants to know, what is your process for executing orders?
Well, I aim for the best execution, considering price, speed, liquidity. I check if I can achieve a better price at an alternate market and ensure the order isn't being improperly handled.
Nice. And Brenda wants to know, how do you handle client complaints or disputes?
Okay. I follow up with firm-specific compliance procedures for recordings, reportings, and resolving complaints as I outlined by the regulators.
Okay. And do you have any complaints currently filed against you, per se?
No.
Okay. But... okay. I just thought I would ask that question. I thought I would ask. And you know, we hear a lot about the brokers making all this money. So Fred wants to know, how are commissions or fees determined and communicated?
Well, the fees are disclosed upfront, including commission per trade or advisory fees based on assets underneath the management.
Okay. And Micah wants to know, what is the policy for managing client confidentiality?
Okay. I adhere to the SEC and firm regulations protecting personal data, only sharing information with authorized parties on a required by law.
Okay. So that sums it up for our members that are on the show. They wanted to know the answers to those questions. And I hope that we gave you the appropriate answers you were looking for, but more so because you know so much about what's going on here, because you've been following me for weeks on this case and you have other personal knowledge of this case due to being a part of FINRA. So I wanted to ask you some questions. And one question I wanted to know is, because you know, you said you know a lot, but are you familiar with the Elihu Weinstein case?
Yes, I am.
Okay. If you had to give our listeners a one-liner on this case, what are your feelings about the case with the regulatory oversight being in place?
Well, I feel there's no oversight due to the registered broker doing business outside of the ordinary procedures as a registered agent is supposed.
Okay. Now, when you say that, so there's supposed to be some oversight with
yep.
like these brokers doing business?
Yes. Due to the registered agent. Yes.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Do you feel Elihu Weinstein is guilty and created this Ponzi scheme the government is saying that he created?
I think he was led by a registered broker who had a supervisory role to create certain documents and made fraudulent documents and led into investors into default.
Interesting. So that default, like, you know, well, we'll get to that. But to clear it up in everybody's minds, and this has to do with FINRA. Do you believe that Elihu Weinstein is guilty?
All I do know is due to regulations of FINRA, he could not be possibly found guilty of a Ponzi scheme that was led by a registered broker in FINRA.
Interesting. So speaking of FINRA, are they required to do an investigation on Ponzi schemes?
Yes.
Okay. And have you ever been involved with any type of investigation with FINRA against broker dealers or broker firms?
Not on Weinstein himself, but the broker that was registered in his case. There was a broker that was registered in his case. I'm sorry.
Interesting. Well, to sum things up, you know, basically of the knowledge that you do have, do you think that Mr. Weinstein should be in jail right now?
Absolutely not.
So let's just say, you know, using some theory, if he was not a registered broker and there was a registered broker, do you feel like he should hold some of the weight for some of the actions, even though he has no clue about bonds, stocks, and procedure and law and, you know, registration of clients, accredited or unaccredited? Do you feel like he should have been held liable for anything?
No, I think the broker and his firm should be solely responsible for those losses. And the victims should have been vetted out for an investment, for any investment.
Wow. So being as though that you say that, so if someone is not vetted out, that means that they would qualify for what they are. Like, let's say if I had $1 million and I said, Pat, I got $1 million. Would it be the procedure for me to just hand you that money in your bank account?
No, there should be some type of investigation and vetted out for the investor.
Interesting. Well, Pat, I mean, do you have anything to close out on this about Mr. Weinstein? Like, do you think he's being treated fairly in this case? Or do you think there was maybe some lapse of oversight that was included here?
I think the responsibility was for the other people that are around him. The brokers, that's their responsibility. They get paid and they're licensed to take care of things like that. So I don't think it's his fault too much.
So when you say not too much, but what do you mean by not too much? Like either, you know, the water's hot or it's cold.
Well, right now it's hot.
Okay. Well, we'll settle for that. I'd like to thank you, Pat, for coming on and sharing some clarity on this. And if the audience wants you to return on another segment to clear up some things you may have said today, is that okay with you to reappear?
Great. I would love to come back.
Okay. Well, thank you so much and looking forward to it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Guys, did you hear that? Interesting. 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 For our listeners, according to Pat, FINRA was supposed to do an investigation. And moreover, I believe that that never happened. Or it could have happened, guys. Let's just say it could have happened. Okay? I think more so there was an investigation, but mysteriously, you know, I went through a couple of his trial documents. I couldn't find not anything in reference to a FINRA investigation in his case. That was kind of weird to me because, as Pat says, she knows the case, right? She said it, not me. She knows the case very well. She knows, obviously, the actors because she was kind of withholding back information a little bit, I felt. And I kind of got it that you guys probably feel that too. But it was kind of strange that she would say that the registered agent was supposed to, you know, the broker was supposed to be in charge of handling the client's funds. And I mean, you know, because no one can say that, you know, I'm a client and we want to give you $1 million. And then I have a personal, you know, let's just say if I'm the broker here, I take $1 million from you and I tell you to give me $1 million and I make up a note and I say, this is a promissory note. Now these people have, and this is where it becomes a little tricky, guys, because you're making up notes and you're a broker and you work for a firm. I'm just kind of lost at the fact that FINRA didn't step in to do an investigation and this documentation, which they do not have to share, but they can be subpoenaed to share this information. That's another whole basketball within itself. So if no one subpoenaed the information, such as Mr. Weinstein's attorneys, how do you know really who's at fault in this whole game? Meanwhile, guys, Weinstein got 37 years, okay? He got 37 years for not knowing the legal dynamics of how this transaction was supposed to go. And the only theory that I can come up with in reality is, one, Mr. Weinstein didn't know that the broker had a whole back office scheme going on behind his back. They plotted this thing out, these guys, actor one, actor two. Remember the hedge fund guys? Ashley just sent a message. I'll get to you in a second, Ashley. They plotted this whole thing out of how they were going to scam these people. And not only that, because guys, I've taken securities classes before and I've been in that arena. Let's just say that. And I can tell you the procedure is, because from what I did read, it's investors from California, it's investors from West Virginia, it's investors from Connecticut. Speaking of Connecticut, guys, that one investor was like the SBA. So for me, I would be thinking, because it's the SBA, and let's just say if I'm the attorney, I'm going to wear double hats here, okay, guys? I'm the attorney, and I'm going to say, this SBA was a victim in my client's case. Where are the records? Where are the loan documents? How was this loan originated for my client to have his little paws on these SBA records? Where is the signatures? Who opened these bank accounts? Who was the overseer? Okay, I'm going to turn on a different hat. Okay, I'm going back to the brokerage firm that is not mentioned either. I couldn't find them mentioned anywhere either. That's also a little mystery. Speaking of ghosts and fake accounts, as they said, Mr. Weinstein had fake this and fake that. Seems like everybody played a role in doing something fake in this deal. Okay. And I'm not trying to throw shade at anybody. Don't take it personal, guys. I know you're listening. Don't take it personal. But what I can tell you is, if you're going to indict and incriminate and sentence someone off to prison for damn near the rest of his life, okay, I gotta say, you can't commit fraud along with fraud. You know, you can't withhold evidence that you feel and you know that's going to get that person vindicated because you say, I'm going to intentionally leave this out. But it's nobody's fault but his attorney's, okay? They railroaded the guy. Because if I'm the attorney, I am going to say, where are the records? There was a registered broker. I need the firm to be involved. Where's this firm? Let's bring this firm to the table and let's see the firm's records. Of course you got to see the firm's records. Why wouldn't you want to see what these guys were doing? And it all appears to me, if you're looking at the big picture, and I'll just pause for a second because I'll tell you this. Ashlyn just raised a very good fact of what's going on here. Ashlyn P, that's her name, she just sent a message and said she is a stockbroker. She holds a Series 7, a Series 63, and a Series 18. And she said there's no way in the world the firm is not held responsible for some of these things that happened in the Weinstein case. And why is it such a secret that these documents were never subpoenaed by his attorney? And that's a very good statement slash question involved all in one. Because it kind of behooves me if FINRA, okay, because FINRA has to come in and they have to do an investigation. They have to do a review of all the documents. Or maybe they didn't have the documents. They knew of the transactions. And we'll get to that, guys. Don't worry, because I see you guys are hot and heavy. You got questions. They're pouring in. But you just hang tight, because I'm going to answer these questions through these statements I'm about to make. And I'm going to tell you this. How this entire Ponzi scheme was set up is these, I'll say, the registered broker and the firm who unsupervised their registered broker, they allowed this transaction, several transactions, to occur. And mysteriously, the firm had little to no records. Now, the cost of cure for them was, we will, because there was an investigation. FINRA did have an investigation. They investigated. But I'm quite sure if that investigation was presented, Mr. Weinstein would not be sitting for 37 years. Okay, remember we talked about violation of probation and things he couldn't do. Remember he couldn't even buy a piece of tissue to blow his nose in because it wouldn't belong to him. That situation. Mind you, and I'm going to backtrack a little bit for you guys just to give you a refresher. Mr. Weinstein had a new probation officer who testified at his sentencing for violation that, and this is all what I heard, guys, accurate information, no secrets held. This probation officer never seen Mr. Weinstein or spoke to him a day in his life, but he raised the right hand under oath in federal court to take testimony to say, that Mr. Weinstein said he didn't have this and he didn't do this and he didn't do that. Where is the original officer? Where's the original probation officer that was supposed to keep records and was supposed to document everything Mr. Weinstein said? And I would have subpoenaed this guy, even though he took the stand. It's okay. I would have asked him for his records, not specifics of cases, but how many clients do you serve, Mr. Probation Officer? And how many of these clients do you have verbals with that you can remember every single thing? And then I would ask him about his childhood. And then I would ask him about things that happened to him during his course of work, doing my own investigation to see how thorough his memory is of what happened to him when he first became a probation officer. Who was his constituents? Who was his friends on the job? What did he know about them? How much he could remember about each and every person that he endured in the day-to-day work life that he had? Because you would have, these attorneys were just horrible. They should have broken down his credibility and immediately knew that he was telling a fat lie. And again, shame on you, you attorneys. And hopefully Mr. Weinstein will get some of his money back from them. Shame on them. The other biggest thing is opening statements. His attorney made no opening statement about anything except what was in front of her. Like, who did the investigation on his case? Who handled Mr. Weinstein's case to say that FINRA is telling the truth about the loss? The SEC, who filed and led this whole investigation and claims, they're telling the truth. Who verified anything? This man gave up his personal residence, where his wife lives, and his kids. God bless their souls. Scammers. To the scammers who was in cahoots to do this deal. Mind you, did this deal, okay? This is not an ordinary deal. You got scammers with over 400 recordings. So you mean to tell me you just meet a guy and you're looking to do stock business and business period, and you say, I'm going to record this guy from day one because he lied about his name. They allegedly found this out later on down the road. Come on, guys. Yeah, listen. Jeff actually just sent a message. He says, they basically think we're all dumb. Jeff, I got to say this. It looks that way. If it smells funky, it's funky. And this whole circle of funky smells funky. Remind you, Weinstein had his sentence commutated by Donald Trump, which they totally disrespected that whole situation. Okay, they weren't for Mr. Weinstein doing 7-8 years getting out, and he's back out trying to make ends meet for his family and trying to provide for the alleged victims who said that he defrauded. You know, everybody has a story to tell. And one of the biggest stories is in the stock business, what happens is, what they do is they make you sign risk statements. This could go this way or this could go that way. Why are stock brokerage entities still available, open and kicking and willing to take people's funds? It's because everything has a risk. But when you have brokers that are supervised by a firm, they're not supposed to have these kind of situations go on unless, guess what, guys? It's called supervision. There was no supervision. You can't be a stockbroker and have calls on your personal cell phone about negotiations and sending out text messages. Oh, guess what, guys? We did such a great thing today. You're going to make $20,000 more on your profit. It is illegal to do that. And this is what this registered broker did. This is what he did. This is what he said. And this is what he showed. Mr. Weinstein forfeited everything that he had to say, listen, guys, you screwed up. You lied on me. Here, I want to make this right. I'm going to sign my equity over to you. You guys make sure you liquidate it and satisfy these victims. Mind you, Some of these victims were their family members and friends, okay? So they beat their family members and friends out of their life savings. And guess what, guys? One of their family members, a friend said, you know what? We've had a relationship for over 20 years. I miss them. They miss us. Can we still be friends? And they asked for permission through the courts to become friends with each other. Like they wanted to be friends again. So I don't think this deal went down how, you know, everybody is believing in their minds. And more importantly, Pat, the question I asked Pat was, speaking of FINRA, are they required to do an investigation on Ponzi schemes? And the answer was yes. Okay. But what I didn't get to ask her was, are they allowed to turn those records over? Because those records are crucial. But I do know, personal knowledge, with a federal subpoena, you can get the records that you're looking for. Okay. And they're not always readily available. They're not always around, just sitting around, lingering, waiting for you to pick them up. But if you do have a great attorney who is skilled in the federal court system and they know their way around, they can pretty much subpoena and get you what you need. And they also spoke about Mr. Weinstein and his fraudulent deals and people that were ghosts and so on. And I'm kind of looking at this as a double-edged sword. You know, and the rule of thumb in law is, in any law, don't open that door. There's a back door. If you open that door, you're going to let stuff in. Okay. And if you let certain things in, you can't take them back out. They opened the door for nothing to come in. And I believe that was done intentionally. And for some reason, with this information being withheld intentionally, I'm pretty sure, as Pat said, investigation had to be done. I'm pretty sure with that investigation, it will prove a different fact for Mr. Weinstein's case. It will show that this broker and this firm, they've been running around town like wildcats, like stray cats on the street. Soliciting and siphoning money from people, who in their right mind does this? Speaking of right mind, guys, let's give a shout out to our sponsor, openlinenow.com. And I'll tell you what, sometimes in life, you don't need a solution. You just need someone to listen. And the reality is those moments don't wait for appointments or schedules. They happen in real time. That's exactly why Open Line was created. By the way, guys, I also signed up with Open Line, not because I need psychological help, but in order to give, you know, resources to others. So Open Line is a new app that allows you to connect instantly with a real person, someone who's there, who will listen, and who understands that sometimes just having a conversation can make all the difference. And by the way, guys, there's no pressure, no judgment, no complicated process. You simply open the app, choose whether you need support, or you want to help someone else, and if someone is available, you'll connect right away. It's not therapy. It's a human connection. And sometimes in life, this is what people really need. And that's what it's all about. An open line is not just for people who need help. It's also for people who want to be there for others. It creates a community. It creates really a great relationship where people show up for each other in moments that matter the most. You guys ever have someone that call you in the middle of the night and they're stressed out, they're going through something? Think about those people when you download this app and share it with them, because sometimes they may not want to come to you directly. They may want to come to someone else that they feel like is going to be just an ear and not be judgmental. Go to openlinenow.com. You can find it on the Apple Store and Google Play, because no one should have to have a moment to go through something alone. And this is very true. It's a lot going on out here today. And I do believe with openlinenow.com, the victims should also be there looking for answers, you know, to get them through therapy of their millions and millions and millions of dollars that they entrusted into criminals. Because to tell you what, guys, Mr. Weinstein never touched a dollar of this money. They never they never mentioned that for some reason. They made this guy, they shamed him. He did it. He did it. He did it. We got cooperating witnesses. That's all we need. But it's one thing that I found out about that firm, and it dates back to 2019. And if you guys are following me with the Weinstein case, which a lot of you are, you'll see that Mr. Weinstein was incarcerated in 2019. He wasn't commutated until 2021. So there's a difference here of timeline when the criminals were really at work and they were busy. They were handling business and getting millions. They were at the height of the pandemic. The pandemic, the world shut down March 23rd, 2020. Factual, look it up. Okay, Mr. Weinstein was released at the height of PPE equipment going out there. People needed masks, they needed gowns, everyone wanted to stay safe. He was at the height of a business deal that these criminals bought him and said, you know what? We already scammed victims. So we need now to make up for the other scam that we had going on, like that underground black market insulin they were killing babies with. By the way, guys, we did some homework on that, too. There was a lot of kids that died from black market insulin. Not pointing the finger at anyone, but I can tell you this much. No one was ever prosecuted for it. Why? They didn't have to prosecute anyone. They got Mr. Weinstein. Mr. Weinstein is the criminal, as they say. And I'll tell you this much. When you have a broker and you have a registered agent firm, I'll tell you this, FINRA doesn't play any games, okay? And once they detect fraud, now, this is a very huge detection in this particular case. There was an anonymous person that called in and said, hey, well, they weren't so anonymous. I take that back. It was investors that called in and said, hey, listen, we've been scammed. Who would know to call FINRA or call, well, I don't think they call the brokerage because they kind of knew they were being scammed, but who would call FINRA to report a brokerage? And by the way, this report was handed over to the SEC. The SEC looked at it and said, guess what? We've got a case. We've got a case against Mr. Weinstein. They didn't look at this case and say, we have stockbrokers committing fraud and let's look at this FINRA report and see the regulators. Like, what happened to the bank that regulates the monies coming in? Not only that, but this is like interstate fraud. You can't be an investor in California and sign your deal in New Jersey. That deal has to be signed in California. You can't cross state lines. And that broker must have an office in that state to do that deal. How are all these states involved in all of these deals? And no one, especially the plaintiff's attorney, okay, they caught it. They just didn't want to reveal it. What about the defendant's attorney? How do they not have an investigator? And listen, I don't want to take anything away from anybody, and I don't want to put anybody down, but it's still shameful. Shame on you. You did a horrible, sucky job. It's like a rotten cauliflower. They smell bad. But this is what I'm saying, guys. And it's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know how to do something. A lot of people just don't know how to say, I don't know. But when your client is coming to you, and Mr. Weinstein has said this, I need an investigator. I need a financial accountant. I need an auditor. I need to find out what happened to these books. This guy signed away money that he invested. Okay? Is he guilty of something? Sure he is. He didn't tell his probation officer. That's what he's guilty of. Did he scam anybody? Listen, you heard it from Pat, who knows the case. Absolutely. Mr. Weinstein did not do that. So here we go. Back to the table again. If the attorney would have subpoenaed the proper records and opened the door and even maybe let her client testify, even though some attorneys are against defendants testifying, because sometimes they may slip up. But Mr. Weinstein can say, guess what? I may have slipped up in the past because I didn't know how to handle these type of deals. And I didn't know this was fraud because I'm not a securities broker. Okay. I'm not registered with FINRA. I never took the exam. I don't know anything. I don't know how this works. All I know is I have money to invest and I'm going to invest it. Okay. He did it the old school way. Okay. There's a lot of handshake deals out here. Don't think that it's not. Those deals still very well exist. You give me 5,000, I'll give you back 5,800. We're friends, by the way. And deals are cut like that between friends. And it's not a Ponzi scheme. They say, hey, listen, $5,000 in on my car note. I need help. I don't want it to get repossessed. Your buddy will say, okay, give me $5,800 and we got a deal. Okay. Mr. Weinstein did something exactly like that in his past deals. Okay. And I'm not a Weinstein fan. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying to you is facts and confirmation of those facts. So he says this go around. I didn't listen to my wife. I didn't listen to my good friends that were really my friends. Not the snakes, the real friends. And he says, I got a broker that's involved. These guys know the business. It's no reason for me not to trust them with my ideas. Anybody can have an idea. Doesn't mean you created a Ponzi scheme. If someone gives you an idea, and people do this every single day, this goes back in history. They came out with, what is that? Alcohol. Let's say Crown Royal. Crown Royale, as they say. It was a guy that came out with the idea and someone stole it. Okay? He took it and he made it better. He perfected it. Okay? There's a lot of inventors. The hammer. The whistle. The original people that created these things, and I won't go too deep on that, but the original people that created those ideas, they gave food for thought and the other person ate it. They swallowed it. They digested it and they ran with it. And guess what? Whistle companies, hammer companies, they're on the stock exchange today. All because someone else had an idea. But it seems like these hedge fund one and two guys, they had a bigger idea. They said, Weinstein has a great idea. Let's take his idea, push it through, without letting our back office know about it, because they don't need to know. If they know, we're not going to get all the money in our hands. They get a commission. It's a split. The greed of these heathens. They didn't want to split their commission with the firm. Why should we split our commission with the firm when we're the ones that came in with the idea? They're going to rob us. We got to pay for our yacht. We got to pay for our mansion. I got to send my kids to school. I got to pay for my parties. These two creeps, and I'll call them creeps. I have that right. They took Weinstein's idea and they made it into a fraudulent transaction. And they left this guy hanging to get a little slap on the wrist, a little I'm sorry, because they had a heart on for Weinstein because he got commutated by Trump. And that's what it's really all about, guys. Listen, a ham sandwich could get indicted, okay? Is what the ham sandwich does at the end of the road, okay? Either it's going to be folded in half, it's going to be cut, or it's going to be eaten, okay? And sometimes you might find a friend to share it with. But more importantly, Mr. Weinstein came up with this idea of a real business deal involving real people. And what do? They already had a plan. The plan was to scam the brokerage, the firm, leave them on the hook for it. And we're not even going to talk about the victims, okay? Because the victims, everybody should have been investigated. You said you invested $8 million. Let's see your bank statement. Let's see all these bank statements. Because if FINRA did an investigation They should have all of these important documents of all these alleged victims, investors, whatever they want to call themselves, okay, that slid through the back door. And obviously, if you're sliding through the back door with people that you're getting millions of dollars from, trust me, this is not their first slide through the door. They've been sliding for a long time. It's just that now the goo duo got greedy and decided to beat their friends and family and blame Mr. Weinstein. Not only that, but the broker even had the nerve to file bankruptcy on the debt that he owes. How remorseful are you? And really, in real life, that constitutes bankruptcy fraud. How he's not getting charged with bankruptcy fraud behooves me. There was a guy not too long ago, he didn't put down on his bankruptcy filing that he had purchased a machine. And they immediately, the machine was like $300. Bankruptcy fraud. We're going to hold you accountable. But in this situation, this duo, Mr. Hedge Fund Number One and Hedge Fund Number Two, two dummies put together, scammers. They actually came up with this miraculous plan to scam Mr. Weinstein. And successfully, they have done it because the judicial system has failed Mr. Weinstein. How did it fail Mr. Weinstein? Because one, his attorney that he trusted with his life. That's his, we're talking his life. Mr. Weinstein is 50 years old, 51, going to be 51 years old. 37 years of his life is going to be taken away because the attorney failed to investigate his case properly. And here we sit today trying to advocate and prove facts for Mr. Weinstein and how he got railroaded and entrapped. And I won't say the government. I won't just put them involved in this. I would say his attorneys. They failed him. But they'll smile in your face. Something weird about attorneys, especially the ones that are no good. As they say, no bueno. They'll smile in your face. They'll eat your food. They'll eat all of your food. You bring them food every day, they'll eat all of your food. And they'll fry you in the end. They'll keep taking your money, making you promises. Don't worry, Mr. Weinstein. We got this. We don't need proof. We just need what we have. You have the government's evidence. That's what you had. And you allowed that evidence without getting your own evidence. Everything that Mr. Weinstein had, guess what, guys? I found out it was everything that he used. They said it was ghost paper. These people don't exist. Who are these people? These people are ghosts. You had a real business deal, Mr. Weinstein? With who? We can't find any of your business partners. When you guys remember the second show, a guy came on and he said, listen, I was a business partner. I made money. I had proof. Well, why didn't you give the proof up? He says, because they didn't want it. The attorney got their own witnesses who they wanted to testify. They cherry picked each and every one of them. Like when you go to the farm, you pick the apples off the tree, you look at it and you see which ones look good, the ones don't look so good. You kind of put them to the side. But in this instance, they looked at the ones that was a little bruised and said, this one looks great. It's ready. It's ripe and ready. But the ones that were a little hard and firm and they were, you know, ready to move into production, maybe for apple pies, they said, we don't want you. We're going to leave you on the tree because you don't serve a purpose right now. And I'm not sure if you guys are aware that Mr. Weinstein did everything in his power to make this thing right with those victims. And the only fault that I see in Mr. Weinstein, yes, he violated probation, but under those ridiculous new orders he was given, I don't even know how he could survive blowing his nose. Or even, you know, I think if he picked a piece of snot out of his nose, he still didn't own it. with those new modified supervised conditions. So let's go back to that. But Mr. Weinstein had real business, real deals, and for them to shy away the people that, listen, if the guy's coming forward and saying, I want to, you know, incriminate myself, but the business partner came and said, these deals were real. Where are you guys getting it from? They got it from Hedge Fund 1 and Hedge Fund 2 because those scammers, they had a plan. They had this thing already rigged before Mr. Weinstein even joined in. They started their crime in 2019. If we go back to the firm and look at the firm's history and look at the broker's history, the registered broker with his IPO scams, and how he's been reprimanded and he shouldn't have held a license then. Okay. You would really see that at the end of the day, Mr. Weinstein could not have committed the type of fraud that they're saying that he did commit. When you take an investor's money, that money goes into an escrow with the firm that you work for. It doesn't go into a corporation that the broker sets up and uses as a pass-through, is exactly what he did to hold on to those funds. Because the firm's responsibility and why they have these escrow accounts is to make sure that the money gets handled appropriately. There's no misappropriation of funds when the firm is involved. And the firm knows if they are involved with that type of scheme, they will be held brutally accountable. But in this case, because they wanted Mr. Weinstein so bad, they went and they overlooked all of this evidence that supports his innocence in this case. Because I'll tell you this, guys, in the SEC, you know, I won't say anything bad because they look out for folks. But in this particular case, they went along with the hard on. Okay. And I'll say that because you held an investigation and you supplied evidence at a trial with no real evidence. This to me was like a mock trial. And for those who don't know what a mock trial is, it's like a fake trial. They put it together and, you know, we're going to see where this goes. And we're going to see what we allow in and what we don't. But in this particular situation, they did not allow in the important documents. And guess what? His attorney was threatened. I don't know about attorneys today, but you got to have some balls when you're representing a high profile case. Okay. If you don't have that, then you gotta take a seat. You got to go to the back of the courtroom, sit back there with the spectators, because this is something you can't handle. When you allow the people to walk over you, this is what is going to happen to your client. And for the firms that run off of clout, like there's some big firm. And then, you know what a lot of firms do? And this has happened to me, guys, by the way. You know, you pay this attorney $700,000-$800,000, let's just say. And you got the top dog attorney in there and he's all with you. He's clowning around and he's telling you everything you want to hear. It's like a bad romance story. Telling you everything you want to hear, you know? And then they slam you with the worst thing that could have ever came your way. I'm not going to show up. I'm going to have this new associate that needs experience to get their feet wet. And that's what happened in Mr. Weinstein's case. He had someone that was inexperienced, that did not know how to look for clues. I mean, even Scooby-Doo, they looked for clues and they got the evidence. You know, you guys looked at Scooby-Doo before, you know that they found clues and they got right down to like what's going on here. And for Scooby-Doo to be smarter than some of these attorneys nowadays, this is shameful to the judicial system. It's shameful to the law schools that say that they educate these attorneys. It's shameful. Because you got not just Mr. Weinstein, but you have people serving life sentences because of their attorney's failures. And I think that in all due fairness, you know, there should be a fee arbitration. Should be a fee arbitration held, because I think he would be owed some of that money back. Especially if he can prove ineffective counsel. That would be really great. And it shows, because when you got people that were business partners coming on and saying, I know for a fact that they didn't do their job, because I was one of the people that did business with Mr. Weinstein. And that says a lot, guys, about what's going on with Mr. Weinstein's case. They left out a lot of things. If they didn't do it intentionally, and they overlooked the big backstory of FINRA and their role in this, and they didn't know, which I'm kind of thinking they did know. They just didn't want to know. If you leave out important details, that's going to be equivalent to 37 years of someone's life, that means you didn't do your job. And more so, taking a heavier look, because the SEC got involved and filed a charge, the complaint, they actually had to have that report. And that report would have to detail out the players in the game and where all this money went. Everybody is, you know, at Mr. Weinstein's trial, they're like, all these alleged victims, they call them victims. They're not victims. They're not victims. Why do they call these people victims? They're not even investors. They were never vetted out through the firm. Who are these people? Did they get the money? Was this a setup? Did they get the money from these alleged victims and say they gave it to Weinstein and then they gave the money back to the victims and they set him up? Because it's mysterious that, you know, he turns over his house and makes it good. Seems like they want this guy to crash and burn. He gave up equity in corporations that he was a legitimate partner in. Corporations, by the way, that the government didn't even seize. Usually they're seizing everything. They didn't even seize these corporations. From what I understand, is land in Morocco, the attorney that was the fake attorney slash investor, he changed his role because he was being questioned. And remember, Jeff got on and said, hey, listen, guess what? This guy, this attorney, took the easy way out. I don't know him. I didn't do any deals with him. I'm an investor. I'm not his lawyer. He took the easy road out because he just didn't want to be involved. And this is madness. How do you not want to be involved in something that you created? He brought these deals to Weinstein. He said, I'm going to be your attorney. I'm going to represent you. He gets a slap on the hand. He gets to travel back and forth freely to Israel. Mind you, while he's on supervision. But he's not a flight risk. He's bringing the deals in. So it kind of looks like a setup to me, guys. And guess what? Guess what? I'm not the only one that says this. Mark sent a message and said, Eliyahu Weinstein was set up. I don't know him personally, but from all the facts that have been confirmed on your show, he was set up by his attorney. And guys, this may be true or false. You know, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. They're entitled to freedom of speech. You know, there's nothing we can do about that. People have their own ways of saying things. Mr. Rothman sent a message and he says, I've known Mr. Weinstein his whole entire life. I don't know who Mr. Rothman is, but this is his message. I have known him his whole entire life. And basically, this is what it is, guys. So, in a nutshell, I would like to tell you guys, thank you so much for joining. It's over 20 million listeners today on the show. Guys, we'll be back with an update. Remember, Wednesdays, same bat place, same bat time. Tommy Torres signing off. Bye now.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.